We're a gaming show. We're called Inventory Full. That hurts my stitches. We're going to be talking about the Battlefront 2 beta, as well as Blizzard opening up its esports arena, and so much more. What's 2018 looking like? It's somebody's birthday today, not somebody, a game franchise. We're going to talk all about that right now on Inventory Full.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
I almost got myself on that.
Hey,
welcome, and it's time for a duel of the fates. We're going to be talking about the Battlefront 2 beta because we're so close to Battlefront 2 coming out.
I feel it.
And luckily, this is Stacey and I's second time with the game.
Yes.
Because we got to play the Battle of Theed, which now everybody got to play. And how did it not change? Welcome to Inventory Full. I'm your host, the Internet's Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. Next to me, Nate Miller.
What's up, nerds? You can find me on social media at DogLikeNate.
That is quick to the point.
Stacey Shuttleworth.
Hey guys, that's Stacey Shuttleworth. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch at Stacey Shuttle.
What is up? Isn't Nate the freshest?
I'm trying to be efficient.
It was the freshest part. I'm a Peter the D is truly slide on your console of choice. What's up, guys?
Welcome to the show. We're gonna talk quite a bit about the Battlefront 2 beta and how it changed our expectations of the full game when it does get released in a couple of weeks. But before we get to Battlefront 2 beta, we're playing other stuff. Mm. Last week we talked about...
This music hits me so hype.
It's
sorry.
So good!
It's so good.
I know!
We're so disappointed. You look so disappointed on your head. Last week we talked about how we were going to play Fortnite together. We didn't, but some of us did play, just in general, Fortnite. So I played just the vanilla, like the tutorial to get through. It's weird.
Talk to me about it.
It doesn't feel like a survival game.
Okay.
It doesn't feel as weighty, but the construction stuff's fine. But I know the two of y'all played the survival mode, the Battle Royale mode.
I played like four games and I was like, F this.
You weren't feeling it.
No.
Especially Same. After PUBG. Oh, really?
Thank you.
Same exactly.
Thank you.
So wait, what was it though? Like, why?
It's just like, it's so cartoony. It doesn't lend itself to the atmosphere. Like, I had this conversation with a friend of mine at work actually recently, because he was telling me he had never played PUBG, but he's played Fortnite. He's
and
like,
he loves
oh, it's
it.
Way better.
Sure.
And like, I understand why you would like it coming from a different aspect. The Battle Royale game type, like we had that discussion, is fun.
Yeah.
You can implement it to other games.
Sure.
But things like the mechanics that PUBG has with like bullet drop and bullet time and things of that nature and just the damage that the bullets do, you will never get the same tense, heart-pumping moments you will in Fortnite Battle Royale. It's like a quick, like, oh, I'm home from school. I'm going to play for 20 minutes and play like
three first PUBG.
It's so fast-paced. It really is. Which is weird. I was weirded out about how fast-paced the game played, considering that you are in this immense world with so many break. Like, you break things down, and the whole point is to build things, but it moves so quickly.
So do you mean, let me clarify that, because I'm interested. Like, you mean the round ends faster, or is it your moment-to-moment? Like, combat happens so fast, like altercation.
So the map is smaller.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The circle closing time is quicker.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's just a lot more open. There's not a lot of cover. There's not a lot, or I should say, there's a lot of visibility. It's forced third person.
Yep.
The field of view is massive.
Yep.
The building, it's a very, very niche situation that the building is going to be useful.
Sure.
You have to be already in like the center of the circle.
Okay.
And even then it still will move. So most of the time, if you're building, you just give yourself away. It's like, oh, people are building. Mm-hmm. And I even saw a few people, you know, I was watching some streamers play, and someone was building like a sky bridge, and they're like, oh, they're on the bridge. Shoot the bridge. And they shot the support, and it fell down, and like eight people died, like at the same time. Why you would be up there, I don't know. But I feel like the building novelty stuff doesn't really lend itself to the Battle Royale fight style.
Or at least nobody's figured it out yet. Like, I think it'd be really cool to build a structure and then have people go, oh, they must be in there, sucka, and then you shoot as people, you come flank around.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
cool
it may take
traps.
Time, too, for people to figure out how to wait, because you just can't play it in the same way that you would play PUBG.
Sure.
The other thing is the time to kill is much longer, so even though it's a fast game, just because of the way the guns work, the time to kill is much longer. So it's much, very possible if you come up someone and start spraying them down, and they turn around and are better than you and kill you, or they, you know, they're the way their guns work too.
Well, there's only
like
one class of bullet, right?
Strange.
Like, there's not the different type of bullets like you get in PUBG.
Really, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Well, there's different bullet types in terms of like weapons. So sure, there's like assault rifle bullets as opposed to pistol bullets. Sure. And shotgun
it's all one level.
No different calibers. Yeah. Right. But the guns, there's like different like rarities of them. So there's like common ones, and then there's like uncommon blue ones, and then there's purple ones and gold ones. Right. So I just don't know if it really lends itself to that system. Mm-hmm. I can see why some people would like it and enjoy it, but it's not for you. Yeah, I mean, in terms of getting the PUBG fix, it's nowhere near, you know.
How does the shooting feel as a whole? Like, Epic's known for good shooters. At least do they nail that part of it? Does it feel good to shoot?
It feels kind of silly.
Yeah, it feels very arcadey to me. Yeah. The shooting feels tacked on. Like, oh, you're in a building game. And enemies are going to come at you, so you might as well be able to shoot, too, is what it feels like.
Yeah, interesting. Like, I felt, even just playing through the tutorial, I felt that why would I pick anything other than the pistol? It feels flighty.
There's no aim down sights.
No,
yeah, it doesn't matter.
Somewhere. Oh, I thought that was okay.
It's weird, it's rough, and it's bizarre to think that if you're playing, like, a tower defense game where you're supposed to be this action survivory type of person, that they wouldn't zone in on the gunplay a little bit.
You would think.
But yeah, and especially now that you're making a PvP mode, that's just bizarre.
Well, and they've got such a pedigree there, right? Like, so much of their DNA are shooters, right? Unreal, like, you know, Gears of War. Like, I actually thought the one thing they would nail was a good, meaty... I thought, if anything, the shooting would feel better in this, but maybe, like, to your point, the aesthetic's not as cool, but, man, that's a bummer. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll stick with PUBG.
Yeah, so that'll do that for Fortnite. Well, Patrick, since you didn't get a chance to play Fortnite this week, what were you playing?
I played a little bit more Destiny, although I think I'm done. Finally, I think I'm just gonna hold on. I'm not raiding. Okay. I'm gonna wait until, you know, the December update, I think, to pick that back up. I'm over the score chase. I think I'm at 288, 289. I think I'm just gonna put that down for now. I think I've done enough of that stuff. The faction rally was not that cool. Yeah. So did that, and then I finished Death of the Outsider. So I have to say this. If you're a fan of the Dishonored stuff, like, at all, play this game. It's super accessible. You don't even need the lore. It's 5 levels. I ended up spending about...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's 20 hours because you can really sink a lot of time into that. It was 20-plus hours. Some really interesting decisions at the end. And just awesome. Just the game's so good. So if you haven't ever played Dishonored and you want something that's a little bit more accessible than some of maybe the more intimidating, like, skill tree stuff, it's real lean on that end of it, but just as varied in, as far as, like, gameplay options and things to do. And in fact, I think even sets with some more interesting stuff. So I was bummed it's over. It was one of those things I was trying to savor, you know, when you know you're just not going to get another one for, like, a really long time. I would find myself be like, I played that for enough tonight. I'm going to put that down.
But I was going to ask you, did you feel a sense of finality with the end of the story?
Very much so.
Okay.
Which I personally needed, because it's the, you know, that 2 just leaves a lot kind of wide open. Mm-hmm. And this closes, puts a nice kind of bow on the series. But, man, that was tough. I'm like, I'll play half a level tonight. I think I'm good. I'm just going to, like, I'll pick this back up tomorrow. There's nothing I didn't. Yeah. And so it is interesting, too. It gives you this, like, I'll just say this, right? Because if you're familiar with Dishonored, almost every level there is an assassination target, right? That's kind of the point of every level. And then it gives you an alternate choice, right? You can choose not to kill them, although what you do conversely is usually, like, way darker than the, like, kill them option. Like, killing's usually the merciful thing. And narratively, it's a lot more interesting. And this is the Death of the Outsider, right? Like, so, of course, the one target they give you an option to do. And it sets up, like... It flips the whole story on its head in a, like, really interesting way. So if you're a fan of this universe at all, I can't recommend it enough. Yeah. And, like, it's $20. I feel like I got...
That's pretty good.
It's great.
That's good.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. You got an hour a minute.
I did.
Or an hour a dollar.
I feel great about it. Yeah.
An hour a minute.
I was so bummed. I really didn't want it to end. And, in fact, I was so close to the end, I knew... Like, you know that point, like, when you're... I know you know this feeling. Like, when you're about to beat a game and you're not sure, like, do I have a half hour left? Or is it an hour and a half left? And I'm like... I'm going to look this up because maybe I'll just leave it so I can turn it on tomorrow and have the joy of turning this on, and then had no self-control. I just, like, walked
in
and
finished that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I recently got to a point in Horizon where I was like, is this close to the end or not? And I just don't want to look it up because everybody talks about the story and I don't want to spend all this time and ultimately just like watch a video.
I would say definitely don't look that up, because that game comes, like, I feel like, I don't know you, but, like, that game I had 3 points when, like, oh, this is definitely the ending.
Yes.
Nope. Like, yeah, so I don't know where you are.
On.
I was like, yeah, definitely has some, like, keeps you guessing.
Okay. I was playing a little bit of Destiny 2 this week as well, because it's hard not to get that out of your veins. It takes a little while, and I'm really sad. This isn't a spoiler. This is something to be upset about. So this week starts Iron Banner.
It does.
And they announced that Iron Banner is not going to have any... Your weapons won't matter. Your light level won't matter.
I know.
It's just more Crucible.
I know.
What?
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
I'm not somebody who used to do a lot of Iron Banner.
Me neither, but I was kind of interested this time.
Yeah, no, but like I feel like the way that they've rebalanced Crucible, I feel like if I had a good team, you know what? Why not? Let's do it.
Why totally. Not?
It's because
you already have casual.
I know. And I'm agreeing with you. That's why I was like, you know what? I'm gonna try to test my metal with Iron Banner this time.
Big boys.
Why? Yeah.
Yes. Let me see how I actually do.
Yes.
And then they also announced that the Prestige Raid is also launching this week, but with nothing really
they
added
pushed
to
it.
It. No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did because there's some glitch. There's some exploit. So they pushed the Prestige Raid too. There's literally nothing else to do this week.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Just Iron Banner, but not really Iron Banner.
Really.
It's just a Crucible
more
playlist.
Crucible, totally.
And it's Capture.
I know. Totally. I feel like I got my time out of this. I'm not one of the people who gets upset that, like, now that I've spent 100 hours that there's not more to do with my $60. I feel like I got a lot of time out of it, but I would be still playing this if there were more. I really love it that much.
Yeah, yeah. So excited for that update.
Me too.
But I'm going to be doing the raid before that update.
You will?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, right on,
man.
Because did a lot of clan work this week with like, on mic with clan, and it was really nice. Stacey, you've been playing a lot.
I got around. I got a little bit to everything.
Little bite-sized point pieces
of
everything. You ordered them for the sampler. For
so the thing is, when I have something that I need to be doing and I am supposed to be doing, what do I do instead?
Video games!
I play video games.
Yes.
So I played a lot of video games when there were other things I was very much supposed to be doing throughout this week. So, yes, I was all over the place.
What'd you play?
We talked about Fortnite.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
Back on PUBG.
Got it.
Overwatch?
I played a bit of Overwatch. Yeah, that was kind of my, all right, time for a break. I'm playing Overwatch. And also I can hand sew things in between rounds when we're waiting to find games.
I like that.
It's real helpful.
I like that.
Now, we talked about it last week. Oh, Halloween event. Probably coming to Overwatch, and the day after they poked a teaser,
yeah, they did.
But not really anything else.
Not much.
No.
We just got to look at a couple of outfits.
Well, there was a leak.
There was a leak.
A
we don't know if those are real.
Those were real. Yeah,
those
think
were
real.
I think so too.
I am about that Cthulhu Zenyatta.
Dude, after missing out on the Nutcracker Zenyatta, I'm not missing out on Cthulhu Zenyatta.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. But we don't know anything about it other than it looks like Junkenstein will come back.
Yeah, and I'm curious about the McCree skin because it looks kind of just like another cowboy. I'm sure I'm hoping he's, you know, especially with Matt like being involved in the promo, I'm hoping he's got a lot of special lines. Maybe
I figure
making
so.
Yeah, legendary.
He's kind of been hyping it up like the cool things were coming. So. We got
some cool
something.
Things. Hopefully, are coming with BlizzCon. Beginning of November. I would be hard pressed if we didn't get some sort of Blizzard Entertainment something out of Overwatch. Why not? Okay. Nate, how has the Hearthstone bug been treating you?
Actually, I didn't play that much this week.
Okay.
That's good. I've just been busy. I haven't.
I feel relieved for you.
I
like,
put
my God.
I played 30 hours. I played a decent amount, but not as much as I probably should have. For my free to play.
My name's Nate. No, I'm a Hearthstoneaholic.
Should have.
Hi, Nate.
No. Yeah. Unfortunately, so with my Divinity group being out of town, I needed to find a single player game to play. So I didn't play the Divinity single player and ended up passing them up and just spoiling the entire story. And I ended up picking up Stellaris, which is like I don't know if you play the Civ type of game, but it's a 4X kind of a game, except it's in space and like your map is literally like. The universe, and then you see
all right
and different galaxies, and then you know instead of like cities or countries you're taking like different systems and stuff, so it's very very fun.
That's wild.
Yeah, but it's worse than Civ because with Civ it's like, oh, just one more turn, but Stellaris is just constant, and like you can pause it to give orders if you need to do a lot of things at once,
but everything just happens.
But other than that, you hit play and time just goes by, so like it'll go by like days, you can make it faster, so it just goes to months and then years. Yeah.
Oh boy.
So it just kind of just bleeds together. You're like, yeah, why don't I just finish this research? And then, oh yeah, I got to move this over here. And then I'm like, oh, 2 hours have gone by, and I was supposed to get up 30 minutes ago.
Yeah. Well,
Who developed
yeah,
that?
Yeah, don't touch that.
That's going to destroy my life.
I think it's awful. Paradox.
Is it? Okay.
I think so.
I can't remember. Like, because I remember hearing a little bit about this game a minute ago, but it's been... And is there any, like, real hook? Like, what else differentiates this from Civ?
Other than the setting? It's got a lot of political stuff in it too, because there's a lot of other
Space Gandhi.
Yeah, there's a lot of other
space alt
right, and it's more. That's the one thing that I was frustrated a lot with Civ 6, especially with them taking out even the simple
Martin
thing.
Was disgusted.
The simple yeah. thing of I mean, they're out there.
I know
the simple
they
thing
are.
Of
they leave them out there. Yes. I want to talk about
there.
Video games.
Yep.
It's thrown way off track.
I'm sorry, okay. Yeah, this is what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's get off that subject. Wolfenstein
yeah.
2.
Yeah.
No, yes. Right.
Unbelievable. I can't
either.
I can't even with that campaign.
So let's not even talk about it. Just Google Wolfenstein 2. I don't even want to talk about it. But what I do want to talk about, is Battlefront 2.
Oh.
Stacey and I got to go to the EA Play event back at E3, and we got to play the... at least the Battle of Theed.
And I waved to you guys from outside the fence.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Can I get in?
How fun is it
sorry,
down there?
Sorry, dude.
How fun is it?
But, so for the public beta, they had the space battle mode and the regular Theed multiplayer. I was trying to pick something up from a droid there. But, yeah, at least for Stacey and I, nothing much really changed.
Well, okay, for me it was a vastly different experience after a couple of rounds. I had no idea what I was doing the first time I played this game. I was completely... I don't even think I was playing a game when I was playing it at E3. So I didn't understand what was going on.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know what was happening
Tours.
Around me. Like... I was so lost in that game the first time. I had no idea how the mechanics were going on. And so... getting to actually sit down and play a few rounds and get the hang of how it worked and understand what was happening around me was a very different experience.
I have a theory. I think your PUBG experience has helped you.
Just a better game.
You get it. You didn't play a lot of shooters, right? You play Overwatch, but nothing like tactical.
That doesn't really count quite as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's...
I think some of your PUBG stuff translates into Battlefield.
Yeah, I'm starting to figure out how to zero in with shooters and especially like PvP stuff and to actually handle it, because before it was just like I'd run around screaming and just
overwhelming.
Wait for people to shoot
you just
me.
Shoot at things and die and explosions happen.
I'm starting to hold my own, guys.
So did you guys like it? I mean, I know not much changed, Mark, but you probably had a lot more time with it to digest it a little bit. Like, did you enjoy Theed specifically?
As a Star Wars fan,
yep.
Everything looks it looks better
stunning.
Than it did. It looks better than it did in the now this is a very fun sequence of me flying around and not being able to shoot at anything.
Great.
Because we were trying to take down the carrier, but all of the shields were up, and then every once in a while for about 5 seconds you'd be able to shoot at it, and of course that wouldn't be a 5 seconds where I can shoot at it.
Sure.
And none of the enemy spawned airships. So this was just me flying around in a prototype Y-Wing.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Right, yes.
Because I'm T-Y-Wing all the way.
Sure.
As a Star Wars fan, this had a lot of what I wanted.
Sure.
As a shooter, like as a fan of just the shooter genre, not necessarily like a huge shooter guy, not a lot of it was super fun. It took me a lot of rounds to really get in and zero in on really anything. Like, there was one round where I decided to play sniper, and as a result, I would find all of these different vantage points, but. When you're outside where the sniper would be the most beneficial, the buildings are so stacked to where you don't get like a good log line unless you're standing right out in the open.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it was all just bizarre. I ended up playing heavy most of the time.
I did too.
Just because you can pop a shield and then and roll. But ultimately is just a lot of dying, a lot of waiting for a respawn.
I mean, sounds like Battlefield.
Yes, it was Battlefield. So it was fine. I wanted to play as an airship in the Battle of Theed just so that I could get a sense of both of them. But then when you got to the starship mode, everything felt really slow.
Yeah.
Super slow.
I think the game on the ground feels slow, too.
Yeah.
I think part of for me, it was coming off of, like, I get it, like... Dishonored 2 is all about mobility, right? Like, I am an agent of death. I'll run and slide and no look, put a hook mine on a bad guy, and then, like, air dart the next guy and just keep on moving. And I felt like I was in molasses this whole time. Mm-hmm. This mode was way more fun than the one that was at Maz's castle. Oh, okay.
I like that one a lot.
The game mode's cool, and I don't know if it was the map or whatever. This one just felt like, it felt like a battle, right? Like, and again, I know Nate Scribe with this stuff is like, I don't make a difference, but like, it felt like I was in the middle of something very Star Wars-y. Although, I don't know why you're playing first person, because it is impossible to play.
Maybe that's what it was.
It's real hard. Playing this third person, your field of view is so much better. I picked that up from Nate as well, talking a little bit about PUBG.
No, you can change.
You certainly can.
I forgot you could.
And it makes the role so much better.
I mean, it was fine in first person, but It's more fun
to play in first person. I like the immersiveness of it, but like it, from a survivability perspective, like I was probably my KD was 5 or 6 to 1. Like you can see everybody.
Yeah.
I like this one more. The other mode, that map, it was just like a couple of kill boxes, right? Like it was, is it Mazda Castle? Like, what's the name of that mode? You're supposed to move one thing to an objective.
It's the strike mode.
Yes. And it was just, I don't know if you, theoretically, I kind of like that idea. That sounds awesome. And it was just like two little corridors. It was just a bunch of people crashing against each other and a lot of dying going on. I'm like, I don't know.
But that's the thing, is ultimately, I'm interested in this as a Star Wars game first and a first-person shooter game second.
Sure.
I am beyond stoked to check out the campaign? Single player mode.
Me too.
Because I read the prequel book. I read the book that leads into,
and?
It's wonderful.
Nice.
Like it sets up the whole team.
Oh, good.
And so that story is what I'm most excited to play as. And if there was, like, if we talked about discovery mode last week for Assassin's Creed, if there's a discovery mode for this where you could just walk around all of the beautifully 100%. Recreated.
There are some gardens that I spent
time on. Takodana is a beautiful planet. Beautiful. We didn't get enough time to spend it in the movies. And this is just me busting around as a rocket battle droid.
They're fun.
Yeah.
I love the battle droids.
Being on the opposite.
Apparently you figured out that you can play in third person.
Well, no, that came automatically for this. Yeah, because this is the droid army's equivalent of a jump trooper.
Yeah.
So you could rocket either up or left to right and strafe. Okay. So, yeah. But then we ran into Rey, and we all died.
And good night.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rey.
Oh, no, that's right. That was where I got her. But then,
down,
but
Rey.
Then I got flashbang.
Down goes Frazier.
And yeah.
I had the same problem in the last game. Like, it was gorgeous, like on Hoth, when like the hangar bay. Dude. All I wanted to do was look at the snow speeders before they took off. I'm like, you're beautiful. And like, I'd die. Same. I had the same problem. So I can't wait for the campaign.
I got to see a few streamers play it, and it looks fantastic.
Yeah, it looks
watching Jin run
beautiful.
Around with a lightsaber.
Sounds
like,
incredible.
Hacking things up. Yep. Yeah.
Are you Rey, you mean? You said Jin.
I did.
Jin's not a Jedi.
Did you play the arcade mode, like the score attack challenge, that one player thing? It's kind of fun.
Yeah. That's also couch co-op.
I just played by myself, and that you get a chance to play as the heavy rocket droid or Darth Maul, and you just start as Darth, and you have like, he starts with 20 seconds, and you have to mow down X amount of dudes, like 60 dudes, and you get you get time every time you mow somebody down. So it's just you just Darth Maul flipping around with your lightsaber, kind of fun. It's nothing I'm going to do more than 2 or 3 times, but like it's kind of great.
That reminds me, throughout the beta, you could unlock these crates.
Yes, you can.
That can get you these different things, as well as...
That's unheard of.
Crates,
one of the things that I got was a taunt for Darth Maul.
Did you? What was it?
I forget, but it was a sandwich where... It was so good.
Nice.
And like, just hearing it, because he's the voice of it on Rebels, so I'm more used to that voice now, blah, 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 whatever. But I also got a whole bunch of other power-ups for my character.
Did you?
And it was revealed that you could use regular currency to get some of these crates.
What?
And it seems like another week, another microtransaction piece of BS. Oh, we found one the couple of times when I opened up. Yeah, you turn on the game and it gives you the crates. First one's free.
Right, right.
And then as you unlock, you end up getting more.
I feel like we talk about this every week. I feel like every day it's another story of loot crates and how like badly. I don't know if it's just because it's in its infancy and they haven't figured out how to message this just yet. But this one seems particularly egregious. Frankly, I'm over talking about loot crates, but like. This is a pay to win.
Yeah,
we need our talking off mic.
I agree.
It's gross.
It's part of the industry at this point.
Yes,
but there's still a difference in cosmetic accessories and things that modify gameplay and allow you to play better, especially in a PvP. Like even if it was a PvE game and you could buy stuff that helps you do better, it's still like. But let alone when you're playing against other players, like that's not fun. When you love the game and you play it. You know, you play hours into the game, and you've got lots of stuff, but you're never going to catch the guy who just, you know, spends $100 on crates and plays, you know, 2-3 times a week because he's just going to crush you.
Because I would pay real money for, like, a new Han Solo taunt or, like, a new Han Solo costume. Like, you guys talk about Overwatch stuff. Like, I would love that in Star Wars, also being a pretty – I'm no Mark, but I'm a fan, right? Like, so I would pay real money to get loot boxes in this that were just aesthetic stuff. And it's unfortunate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It bugs me.
Like, yeah. This makes me not want to buy the game. Like, as a Star Wars fan, when it goes on sale at some point, I will buy it to play the campaign and to play around with it a little bit. But my hype from, like, wow, they're going to do it right this time. And they're they got all the players to come in.
Here's the argument.
And it's all good.
Like, they won a lot of goodwill back by making all content updates free.
Yep.
And there is definitely a way to make the content updates free without having to supplement that from somewhere else. But it seems like these loot boxes are their way of doing that. And that's not fair. Like, 100%. But we were talking about it before, how, yeah, we would totally pay for the packs. And I was that person, too, with Battlefront 1. And then the first pack of heroes, of downloadable heroes, where it's like, here are the super awesome Star Wars characters that you get to play as. Nien Num.
Right.
And Greedo.
I know.
And that made me go, I don't care. I don't care about Dengar. Yeah.
So, I mean, the issue is
you
not
watch
then,
your mouth.
The issue is the content.
I know,
right?
You do.
It's
so,
not
but,
people
so that's
not.
The thing. Is this good enough for me to want to purchase? And now by leading with our first pack of stuff is going to be Finn and Captain Phasma and stuff from The Last Jedi. That would be a great incentive for people to buy into it. But now they're in the free section of it. But that's me going, like, oh, I wish there was another way to purchase it. There was, but it wasn't that great. And that might have been them going, oh, it's not the season pass. Or it's them not thinking, oh, well, maybe we should have better heroes, more recognizable heroes, whatever. Yeah. It's, oh, people just aren't buying it, so we have to rethink. So we don't know. It's sad.
I'm like, I feel like I'm on the show, I'm always the corporate apologist. I mean, like, devs and publishers need to make money. And, you know, like,
Exactly.
We spoke about this, like, off mic, even at the beginning of the year, like, Activision Blizzard posted $3.6 billion in digital earnings, which was primarily loot crates thanks to Overwatch. But, like, there is a way to message it and a way to implement it in a way that, like, to your point, doesn't wreck competitive balance or in a single player wreck the grind, right? Like, there are ways to do it, and I want AAA games. Like, I want this industry to be sustainable. This game was 3 years in the making, and then 4 studios. You feel like it's 300 people a studio, maybe 200 people. 1,000 people worked on this game, right? Like, for 3 years. That's a colossally expensive game.
Yeah.
I know that it's going to sell
well.
And
not even counting licensing.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, even remember, too, when we're talking about the Activision Blizzard thing, it's not even just Overwatch. They have, you know, those types of transactions in Overwatch and Heroes of the Storm and
Call of Duty. Totally.
And, you know, World of Warcraft, even.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. So they definitely know what they're doing. And if they can apply it, even in a game like Hearthstone, where you're buying packs of cards, they're literally giving you tools.
Yep.
It's still not pay to win because, you know, it's a deck you have to draw out. There's RNG. Plus, it doesn't tell you when to play the cards. And, you know, there's still a whole lot of skill
involved.
It doesn't
give you a set of you play this card first.
Right.
And that, then you can play that card. And then this card means you win.
It would be, it'd be like if they sold you a complete solid deck.
And then they say, hey, by the way, your deck is 20% better than Mark's deck. Now go play.
Right.
Aww. Yeah, totally.
You get 2 more cards or something of that.
Yeah.
Play with an extra card.
Yes.
Right.
That would be a problem.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how this resolves itself because we've had a couple, as we've been talking about various companies instituting various ways of, quote, pay to win, this not so much, quotes, I should say. But, like, Destiny's ended up not being a big deal. Shadow of Mordor is coming out this week, and we'll see how those ultimately affect it.
There's
4 currency types, and, like, there's a way where you could transfer this currency for that currency. And it's, like, it makes it possible, but until it's rolled out and we see how it works, then we'll be able to talk about it.
Do you think they're going to change? I mean, like, again, I don't know that they've released how much packs cost. I don't know if we've even seen the economy yet, but do you think that they're going to change messaging on this? Or
probably.
Okay.
I mean, they haven't really talked about it.
Nope.
That's the thing.
No, there. I know.
And that's also a problem, right? Get out ahead of it. They knew the beta would have people understand what the system was. Like, I don't know, maybe have something, a prepared talk track? Mm-hmm. I don't know how this hit this morning and it was a surprise to EA. I have no idea.
But that's the thing, too, is they've had John Boyega out front, like they released a 5-minute trailer that details every single little thing. Yes. It showed all of the planets. It showed all of this.
It's the start of the beta.
Yeah.
I love it.
So
yeah, it's
I love
that.
It
does not say anything. Nope.
But it doesn't say anything like, then you can power up with these special things. It's like, no, none of that.
Boyega told me to do it though. Yo, I would be all of that.
It would definitely soften the blow, at least. Be like, man, I'm mad at you, but.
He's like, Patrick, spend this. Yes, John.
Okay.
Why? Yeah.
Well, especially with John being such a vocal proponent for a more robust game after the first one come out.
I agree.
To have somebody who's been like, hey, I know.
Right.
But just wait a second.
Totally.
Yeah.
I do want to point out, I found out on Steam, I was telling Patrick earlier that, I was telling Steve earlier, mm-hmm. Star Wars Battlefront 2, the original, they reactivated the multiplayer servers.
Yes, they did.
You heard about that.
I've got it. If you all want to play,
I was thinking about it.
Got a whole bunch of Star Wars stuff. Humble Bundle.
I'm just concerned about the novelty thing that always happens, where like it's so good in your memory, and then you go back and play
it. I played it a couple years ago. It is not great.
It's not great.
Yeah, I think I'll just leave it as
in my memory.
Perfect in my memory. Yeah. It looks like 1080p in my memory.
It's not. If people release update graphic packs, that'd be one thing.
I mean,
but it's
why
garbo.
Can't they like
still?
Maybe they should look at how much they're spending on Battlefront 2 if they need to resort to this to fund it, because maybe they're just putting too much. Is the game even that fun? Like, can they just take the old
game? Which one, the original or the new one?
No, the new one.
Okay,
can't they just take the old one though and just put their new fancy skin on it? And
no, because
Gucci?
A lot of stuff is, like you, even like, if you well, you
control save as .ps4.
You
got it. Yeah,
it's easy.
Yeah,
it's
you got
easy.
It.
I'll help you guys.
I'm just a dev.
I'm gonna add 4K in the file name.
Yeah, dude. Yeah,
got
it. Yeah. Dev development.
But no,
right
just the way that it plays.
Yeah,
it's just
a different era.
Yeah, completely different era. And it's nice to remember that. Like, people who still say that GoldenEye is great.
No, it is not.
It's not great.
Fuck that game. I know, I've gotten back to that.
GoldenEye is great.
Let's move. something kind of fun that happened over the weekend, because fun things are fun.
What? Yeah.
Blizzard opened up its esports arena.
It did.
And there is a wonderful article from RollingStone.com that, for the benefit of those who aren't in Burbank, California, gave us a look at what it looks like. Now, we're starting out. This is what they refer to as the guest lounge.
Ooh.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Tables, couches, pretty. Some beautiful art on the walls. Let's move on to the next one. This is apparently the entrance is the store right in the middle.
Shocking.
And on either side is the stairway up to the seats.
Great.
I want to get you
all of my money.
Get your money right away.
Yeah.
I'm going there.
Stacey just does a lap around this part and then leaves.
Oh, yeah. I recognize
if they kept it open when they weren't running games, I probably would.
I recognize stuff from Stacey's apartment in there.
So I got
like,
that.
You already got half of it.
Is that your bed back there?
Shut up!
Come on, guys.
Right. Moving on. The Hall of Champions.
Yeah.
It's a trophy case.
Got it.
Let's keep going. That's fine. Now we're going to take a look into the arena. So the next one.
Oh,
so this is the view from the stage. Sick. There's some seats on the floor. There's some big seats up in the stands.
Very cool.
Very nice. Very cool. And of course, the granddaddy of it all. Let's take a look at that sweet, sweet Blizzard Arena stage. Look at that. You can see the shoutcasting desk on the bottom left. And then, of course, this was set up for Overwatch over the weekend. We don't know how it'll look for any of the other tournaments that they're going to be holding. But ultimately, there is the 3-screen setup, some floor seats, and then plenty of space up front for, I don't know. I really don't know why there's all that space, and maybe just to make the gamers feel comfortable.
Overwatch on ice.
There might be cameras there.
Well, no, we've got the locked off, and then there's a couple more up top. Like
maybe
handheld
for the interpretive dance.
Yeah,
probably.
I think
when they do
the Parade of Heroes.
Yes. I think it's for the augmented reality map that they're going to project.
It's live action victory poses.
Oh, dude! Now if a team wins, if a team wins and comes up front and they do everything, that'd be cool.
I feel like this should be a new requirement because can you imagine?
Yeah, on board.
You can send your letters to www.
That's right. Hire us.
So over the past weekend, we had the first event, which was sort of like the end of Nationals. No.
The end of the Contenders Cup.
Okay, the Contenders Cup leading into the Overwatch World Cup.
No, so now we're going into they're kind of reforming teams after this. And
okay.
We're going to have the localized teams starting to play.
Okay.
Going into so this is the end of this season.
Okay, the end of season 1.
Yes. And so now we're going to go into
also the last season.
Yes.
Because the format's changing.
Yes.
Right, so basically.
End of the first and last season of Contenders.
And remember to finish season 6. If you're playing competitive, there's just too many seasons. There's just a lot of wordplay, and I'm making fun of it. How were some of the matches?
So I missed all the Saturday matches. I went back and watched a couple of them, but there was some really interesting play. So they had Europe and North America separate, and then they came together and played a match at the end. But they play very traditional comps sometimes, and very similar, which makes for some really interesting gameplay.
Mm.
But also just seeing the way that they work together differently or don't in some cases. Let's see. There was the games I watched. I caught some of the Europe finals, and we watched all of FaZe Clan versus Envious.
Yeah, I watched those games.
I mean, they brought Siegel in for some of them. Oh,
it was disgusting.
Okay, I mean,
I didn't even know that he had retired. I guess I'm out of touch.
He hasn't been playing on a team. He's just been streaming, but he's coming back to be part of the Texas team.
Yeah,
let's
get that check.
Got
it. I mean, fair.
I mean, but, with that, I mean, especially, I mean, he's like the Faker of Faker's like the Korean god of League of Legends,
who got
is
it.
Like win every world championship.
Okay,
like everybody agrees
Siegel
he's the
is?
Best player. Siegel is like that for Overwatch. Would you say? No. I mean, Overwatch is a little bit different because.
A really good Overwatch player.
Got it.
Okay. He's a very versatile.
Doesn't sound like a Texan.
Oh, he's very versatile. He plays, you know, he can jump into almost any role.
Got it.
He was like the first, like, really, really good Genji when, like, everyone was really bad with Genji and they're like,
oh,
Genji's trash.
Yeah, that's why he took time off. He needed healing.
Oh.
Jeez.
I like what you did there. I was really waiting. There's not a Texan name.
Play of the game, Mark Bidonica shutdown.
Just,
what up?
Combo breaker.
But yeah, I'm excited for more events, and it looks like now with the opening of this theater, we're going to be getting a lot more.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I want it.
Yeah, so. I want to go. I really want to go.
Yeah, let's go as a team. Like, have they released a season schedule yet? No.
We're waiting for season passes to go up.
Oh, boy.
You know they're going to have them.
I think Hearthstone is the next.
Hearthstone. Oh, that's right. They did announce Hearthstone. Mm-hmm. I forgot when it was.
I think it's next weekend.
It's coming up. It's
maybe not.
Before BlizzCon?
I think so. It might be. Maybe it's during. Maybe that's what it is.
Oh, shoot.
Or maybe right.
I think it's before.
I think it's right before. I don't know if it's going to be there.
I don't think it's this weekend. I think it's next.
I have no idea. So I'm going to stop speculating.
It's sometime.
During
future.
TwitchCon? Oh, that's too much. There's way too much.
I can Google it.
Either way. Hoo boy. Let's get some more Overwatch in our lives.
Hoo boy.
Hoo boy. Hey, speaking of business, Patrick,
yo,
something I want a little bit of your input on. Now, a couple of weeks ago, it was brought to everybody's attention that Vivendi,
yes.
Multimedia juggernaut Vivendi, was interested in purchasing Ubisoft because they had reportedly had a 25% share of Ubisoft, which could have increased to 30%,
right.
Which, according to French law, would force Vivendi to make a bid to own Ubisoft.
It's weird French law.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
But luckily, thanks to the heads of Ubisoft, and I've been looking forward to saying this ever since we put the story on the sheet, Michel and Yves Guillemot have been fighting this potential takeover. But and here's the thing. Here's what happened. Is they granted a mandate, which meant that they could buy 4 million shares until the end of the year. And then at the end of the year, those shares would be canceled.
Right.
So they eliminated 4 million shares from the market, which then increased their amount of shares up by 10%, which makes it a lot harder for Vivendi to take over.
Yep. This has been going on for a long time.
This is weird.
It's weird.
And businessy.
I don't understand Vivendi's, their desire to be in this game so much. So I don't know if you guys remember, Vivendi owned Blizzard Activision for years. So from 2008 to 2012, and then our boy Bobby Kotick actually bought it back from them, led the charge. And Michel Ancel's been, like, he's been on stage the last 2 years in a row, right? Do you remember he invited the families of the devs and stuff on stage at E3 and be like, hey, this is Ubisoft. Like, he's been not only waging, like, a boardroom war against this, but, like, a public, like, a PR campaign against this as well. So it's been interesting to see. It's smart. It's shrewd. I'm excited because, like, I don't know that Vivendi has the wherewithal. Like, I don't know that we're going to get the caliber games that we're going to want from Ubisoft.
Are we already getting the caliber games that we want from Ubisoft right now? That's my thing. Is like I would
say the market's dictating. Yes, they've got two of the three best selling games all year long. I think they're crushing. Their stock's up 42%.
And we've still got two huge releases coming up.
Totally
before the end of the month, let alone the year.
Totally. And I don't even. I actually think Assassin's Creed, which I think will sell well, but long term, I don't think the tail's going to be on it nearly as long as, like, again, we talk about this every week, but Ghost Recon and these other games as services stuff.
Still surprising.
It's so traditional. That game, I think they'll still move a lot of units, but, like, the tail's not going to be nearly as long as that, or, like, Siege or whatever, but they are doing
the Division
phenomenal.
The Division just did, like, a big event. It's the only way I know how to
you can't bring up the Division without talking about that game's release and like how long it took for that game to be good and playable.
Disagree.
And
I thought it was great from the jump. Like I had a couple, like it had that weird bug where like it made people line up.
That was funny as hell.
I think its end game was super broken, but like my time with that game was awesome. That game was great.
That's what I heard.
I feel like
most,
that game was way oversold.
That's what I heard about the Division more is I would see the news stories about all of the various technical glitches and such, but then I would hear and I would watch streamers and I would hear from Patrick and I would hear from other friends that it would be a real good experience.
I'm glad that people stuck with it and that they improved the game, and I'm not surprised that they did.
They're still doing stuff with it,
it's like a Destiny 1 thing. Like times 10.
We're gonna get a second one. Like I think the lessons learned. That game sold phenomenally well.
We're gonna get a Division 3 before we get a Beyond Good and Evil 2. Anyway,
also true.
Even though we
tell me that wasn't part of this. Like Michelle and I was like, by the way, it's out there. Like again, that was a court of PR because if they announced it and then Vivendi did buy them, like suckas, we already announced the game. Now you make that. Like that was. Yeah, I thought that was so clever because that was like a tech demo that they showed. Like. Amazing. That was like all, it was all about that takeover, that whole E3 presentation. It was so clever.
Yeah, Ubi's all about a good show.
Yeah.
But now everything is starting to come to fruition for them.
Yeah.
People like Mario and Rabbids, one of the Switch's best selling games.
Genius.
Fractured But Whole coming out. There's a lot of hype behind it. It went gold.
Totally.
It's gonna be interesting whether we like it or not. And Origins, just as a little blip, it was announced via GamesRadar that Ashraf Ismail, because of the added RPG elements that are going into Origins, for the first time in the series, they added difficulty settings.
What was your reaction when you heard difficulty settings?
I'm going to play on normal.
Yeah. Yep. Yours too? I was like, there are difficulty settings in Assassin's Creed.
No, that's the thing.
No, there aren't.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There aren't. I just assumed I played all of them.
The difficulty
thinking
settings,
I was just playing them on normal.
The difficulty
anyway.
Settings are playing specifically to the event. It's like, you can't get caught. You have to use a gun in this. You have to use an item.
Right.
That's the difficulty.
I just assumed I'm playing them all on normal. Like, it never even occurred to me. I'm glad this game looks so good. I'm so excited. The closer we get to that game, the more excited I am about it.
Yeah, I'm excited.
It just depends on how the difficulty scales out. If it's just like, you know, certain people they just make them like take less damage and do more damage, or they just like throw more people at you or something, then I'm not in favor of those type of games. But if there actually are mechanics and things of that nature that make it more difficult, sure.
He spoke to it. He said that they have various sliders, so there's like an aggressiveness, like an AI, like an intelligence. Okay. There's like a damage buff for sure, but I think there's true AI and some of the higher levels as well. So I thought, again, Ubisoft buttoned up. That's a great talk track. I was worried the same thing. I was like, oh, you're going to sponge it up 40%?
Yeah,
like,
because those games I have never had a difficulty in those games. Mm-hmm. Like, just like you said, like some of the challenges, some stealth things here and there. But in terms of like combat and things of that nature, of things that I would never normally consider difficult, like, oh, this is frustrating. I can't beat this.
It's
so hard.
It's the difference of being caught hiding in a hay bale versus being caught wearing a lampshade on your head.
And it's like, oh, I'm caught. Now I just have to kill 15 guards instead of two.
So I want to see Bayek with a lampshade on his head.
You don't see me.
All right, now this is going to be a conversation that we're going to be carrying on for the next couple of months because it is quarter four.
Yeah.
This is already, it's been a huge year for games this year.
Huge.
There's still a lot of time left, but 2018 is right around the corner, and I mean, we're already looking at I mean, definitely Red Dead.
Yep.
But Anthem's dropping next year.
Anthem?
Supposedly.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
I've got a list.
He brought up that list. Stalling. But yeah. There's even...
Spider-Man.
God of War.
God of War. Oh, allegedly Spider-Man. Detroit. Like, I think next year is stacked to be unbelievable.
So, Kingdom Come Deliverance. Did you hear about that game?
No.
It's like they described it as like a multiplayer Skyrim. So it's like a hardcore, no HUD, medieval RPG.
Who's developing it?
I have no idea. Oh, okay. Kingdom Come Deliverance, though. Look it up. It looks really good. Monster Hunter World is coming out next year. Great. Far Cry 5, Dragon Ball Z, FighterZ, Sea of Thieves, A Way Out.
Oh,
Days Gone.
Days Gone.
Crackdown 3, yeah. Red Dead Redemption 2, State of Decay.
Yes.
Anthem, Skull and Bones, The God of War game, Psychonauts, Darksiders 3. Metro Exodus, Detroit Become Human, the Spider-Man game, the Final Fantasy VII HD remake is supposed to come out next year. Last of Us Part 2, maybe.
No
way.
They mentioned recently 2019.
No way.
Okay. Well, never mind. Kingdom Hearts 3 though is supposed to cross your fingers. Hopefully, actually, maybe.
It's about time.
If half of those hit, next year is insane.
And my other wish pick is Cyberpunk 2077, because it's about time. It's been like 4 years.
I'll give it another
year. At least a date, or like a trailer. Or
I'll give it another year. But you saw the last trailer?
Yeah. Yeah, I want another one.
Yeah. So there is a huge swath of games coming next year, let alone games that are going to try to last until those games come out.
Right.
They're going to expect us playing Shadow of Mordor, Destiny, Assassin's Creed. A lot of stuff that's like, there's some amazing stuff coming out Q1.
Can't afford
we got to make sure that we're still on the public mindset.
Yep. Mm-hmm. What do you guys, of that list, like, is there any standouts for you guys?
Sure. If not Kingdom Hearts, there's actually, Sea of Thieves. Now that we've decided that we're going to be a pirate crew,
yep,
like all about it.
Only for that reason.
Actually, I would say, what are you not excited about?
Yeah, it's hard.
Really? That's easy. Days Gone. I am not excited for that game in the very least. It looks very pretty.
Yeah,
did you see?
I'm the same. I don't know if I'm excited for it. If someone gifted it to me, I'd probably play it. But I'm not like.
I wasn't either.
I wouldn't play
it
immediately either. I'd wait a while.
Did you see the behind closed doors demo that they did at E3 that they eventually will let public? So do you remember the stage demo where they like showed it?
Uh-huh.
And we were all like, hey, great. They showed that same thing, but like then he took a totally different approach. It was a different time of day, a totally different approach. And I was like, okay, I get it. It's a little Far Cry 2. Like, again, it totally was like, oh, I remember the scenario. It was beat for beat, but he solved it in a million different ways. And, like, every variable in the game that could be different was different. It's awesome. So,
cool. I'm excited for the game that comes after that and uses that same system.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, fair enough. You don't like Freakers?
Yeah. That's the thing. It's called zombies so many things.
I know.
Call them a damn zombie.
And their talk track is we'll be calling them Freakers after this and not zombies. I'm like, yeah, good luck with that.
Okay, sure.
People barely call them
green.
I mean,
barely call them walkers.
If you want to be able to create your own mythos around them, you have to give them a different name.
Sure.
So if they don't want them to be straight up traditional zombies, and like if they don't want you to assume things that you would already assume,
I get it.
About like, do they call them zombies in Last of Us?
No, they're not zombies,
nope. Right?
But they're very clearly not zombies.
No, right.
In the last I wouldn't look at that and say that's a zombie.
I mean,
clickers.
Especially clickers.
It's clearly when you play the game, but before I played the game, I thought it was just a post-apocalyptic, there's zombies,
right.
survival kind of a thing.
Quintessence, it's real. It's real. Yeah. It's terrifying.
We're gonna be talking more about our most what we're most excited for in 2018. That is super stacked.
It's crazy.
Yeah. We're gonna talk about those a little bit closer to the end of the year, as long as we're gonna be as well as our like favorite games of the year.
That's gonna be a shootout.
Yeah,
we need to discuss our game of the year format at the end of the season. I think we need to have a show game of the year.
No, I agree.
I mean, I can't wait for that conversation.
We need a couple of categories.
I think we need a couple of shows. Yeah. We think we can have individual categories and we can discuss this later, but like, I think we should have a consensus show game of the year, and maybe that's a discussion over several episodes. I think that'll be fun. I think that'll be half the fun.
Yeah, if you've got time to talk after the show, then we can start breaking that down now.
There's a new Metal Gear Solid trailer?
For the Survive? Nah.
Metal Gear Survivor, that's what Star Drew says.
It says it's going live in 90 seconds.
Unfortunately,
well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, because we're flipping out of time. Yeah. There's only two games coming out next week. Middle Earth: Shadow of War
tonight.
It's dropping tonight. Cool. Mm-hmm. And The Evil Within 2, which the first game did really well and did a lot for the horror genre. So the fact that they had the confidence to make a second one.
Very cool trailers.
Very cool. Even though I know the trailer at this point, anytime I'm in a store and I hear it playing, I'm like,
it's fucking cool.
I
know,
this?
Totally. I know. It's so good.
And I'm never going to play it.
Ever.
It's too spooky.
Yeah.
All right. Let the folks know where they can find you and what you're going to be playing this week, starting with Patrick.
Yo. I'm a Pete of the D's. I don't know why I yo-yoed it. Pete of the D's on Twitter. Please tweet at me. Let me know what you're thinking of Shadow of War. That's what I'm playing this week. That's definitely what I'm playing this week. I'm also Truly Slide, console of choice. So hit me up there. Also, if you do hit me up there, send me a note saying where you found me, because several new friends lately and I don't know where they're coming from, so I don't know. What? So let me know, Stacey.
All right, guys, Stacey Shuttleworth. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch at Stacey Shuttles. I'll be busy playing, now that they've extended the Battlefront demo, I'll probably be playing that for a little bit longer.
Yeah, I need more time on Taco Donna.
Yes, and then as soon as Overwatch Halloween drops, I am there. So,
tomorrow.
I am there.
Yeah, it could very well could be tomorrow. That would make sense time-wise to give us time in October. So I will probably be playing Overwatch. You can find me on social media at DogLikeNate. Hit me up and we can do some of that and maybe play some PUBG and, have a good time.
You can find me on Twitter at MRPDonica. Also, make sure to join our Discord server. It's in the description. Follow us on Twitch. We stream throughout the week. Like this past week, Stacey streamed Bastion. I did the Battlefront beta. If we're doing Overwatch, we're going to be streaming that. Also, probably some Destiny 2 because it's Destiny 2. You're so close.
No.
But make sure, thank you so much, everybody, for watching. Make sure to subscribe to us on iTunes as well. If you want the audio version, take us with you on the go. But until next time, we'll see you in space.
Space.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Chris Vita, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.